Perfect. So we are recording the meeting. We are live with the public here. It is 10:01. So welcome everyone to our CVAG Homelessness Committee. It's great to see you all. Erica, do we have a quorum yet?
We do, and we have Jennifer ready to do roll call.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So we will formally call this meeting to order. This is CVAG's Homelessness Committee. Like I stated, it's Wednesday, June 15th. It's 10:01 a.m. This meeting is being held by video telephone conference pursuant to findings made by CVAG and state assembly bills. So our next item after the call to order is roll call, please, Jennifer.
Good morning. Agua Caliente Band of Cohia Indians.
Present.
Blythe. Cathedral City?
Here.
Coachella? Desert Healthcare District?
Here.
Desert Hot Springs?
Here.
Indian Wells?
Here.
Indio? La Quinta?
Present.
Palm Desert?
Present.
Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage?
Here.
And Riverside County District 4. Chair, you do have a quorum.
Thank you, Jennifer. I just want to welcome Mayor Gutierrez, who's here from Cathedral City. Mark Carnevale is out today. So thank you, Mayor, for representing Cathedral City and joining us. It's good to see you.
Well, thank you. Good to see you. And congratulations on your recent victory as well.
Thank you, Mayor. And then we have another new member, Councilmember Bernheimer from Indian Wells. So welcome and welcome back. I know you're a council member before in Indian Wells. I'm sure you were involved with CVAG at that time. Would you like to spend a few minutes saying hi or introducing yourself to the committee?
I know most everyone. There's a couple people that I don't, but just hello and glad to be back, at least for this short period of time.
Thank you, council member. And so you were appointed by the council. And when you say short period of time, you have a term that you're finishing out. Is that right?
Well, there's going to be a special election in November for Kimberly Music's term, and I will not be running. So I'm just filling in for 6 months.
Great to see you. And Councilmember Music was an appreciated member of this committee and was always participating. So it's great to have you here. Thank you for filling in and congratulations.
Thank you.
Next, we have committee member announcements. Do any members have announcements at this time? Erica or Greg, are there any staff announcements?
One, I want to note for the record that Indio Mayor Furman is here for the audio record. And it is mentioned at the bottom that our General Assembly is coming up in a couple weeks. You are all members of our General Assembly. It's always a fun time on Zoom to join with your colleagues from across the Coachella Valley. And we look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you. And I realized I skipped over public comment. I'm so sorry. I was so excited welcoming all of our committee members and our new members here. So I'll go to public comment now. So public comment on agenda items. This is the time and place for members of the public to address the Homelessness Committee on agenda items only. At the end of the meeting, we have time for non-agenda item comment, which is anything else. So please limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you are a member of the public and you'd like to give public comment, you can press *9 if you're attending by phone, or you can raise your hand on the Zoom feature and we will call on you and hear your comment. So Jennifer, do we have any public comments at this time?
Chair, we did not receive any public comments and I do not see any hands raised.
Thank you. So last call for public comments. If not, seeing none, we will then move on to the any other final announcements from committee members. And welcome, Mayor Furman. Good to have you. Seeing no comments, we will move on to our agenda item. So first is 5A consent calendar. So to approve the April 20th, 2022 Homeless Committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Move to accept, Mitch Mirage.
Is there a second?
Second, Carol Rogers.
Is there any discussion or any changes anyone would like to request?
Abstain. I did not attend the last meeting.
Thank you.
I will abstain as well.
Thank you. Any other discussion or comments for the record? All those in favor, please say aye. Raise your hand. Aye. Those opposed, please say no. Motion passes, noting the two abstentions from Indian Wells and Cathedral City. Next, our discussion and action item. So 6A, annual point in time count for unsheltered individuals. We have a staff report, please.
Erica, you brought it up for me, so.
Yes, Greg.
Okay, sounds good. So you're all going to be sick of me by the end of this meeting from talking. But so as most of you are aware, we just released the results of the 2022 homeless point in time count. Erica, you can advance two slides on this one. This is just the point in count timeline. Before we get into the actual numbers, I just want to emphasize, much like 2020, as most of you know, we did not do a count in 2021 due to the pandemic. But much like in 2020, our methodology has gotten much better on counting within the county and especially within the 4th District. That includes more volunteers, increased use of technology with geomapping, and also more importantly, it's been better coordination with our outreach teams from our service providers, as well as our really close relationships with public safety and law enforcement that enables us really to highlight the areas where we need to focus on in counting. So Erica, we'll go to the next slide. This is the overall dashboard for the county. As you can see, the total number is 3,316. That's about a 15% increase over 2020. The important thing to note here, though, is actually our unsheltered count countywide went down, and our sheltered count went up. The good thing about that is more people are getting into some type of services and ideally linking them to permanent housing as well as wraparound services. You can see the shelter total breakdown, not only the countywide of 1336, but also the district breakdown. As you can see, District 4 is number 2 as far as the total number of sheltered. And that's primarily due to the fact that we have 2 of the largest shelters in the county. You can see some further breakdowns of increases and decreases in specialized populations. I'll note here, too, that by the end of this month, we should have a real comprehensive report. We're just finalizing our work with UCR on that. And then you'll see the unsheltered total as well. Again, it's decreased countywide. This, however, shows that District 4 has the highest level on the unsheltered count. So next slide, Erica. These, again, are just some highlights. I already went over the 15% overall increase, the 8% unsheltered decrease, and an 83% shelter increase. Another note, too, is that, as you can see, 49% of the surveyed individuals actually requested aftercare services. And just on a personal note, one of the first people that I counted in Palm Springs as a young man, 30-some years old, was in drug treatment and basically aged out due to insurance issues, actually got into services and actually is permanently housed now. So there's a lot of really good success stories throughout the county on that. Again, you can see the subpopulation totals and then the number of volunteers that we had this year, 625. And again, the 4th District once again surpassed all other districts in the number of volunteers. So next slide, Erica. This shows you the district by district breakdown. Eric, if you want to advance to the main one, we blew this up a little bit so you can see the 4th District. So overall, we had a 7% increase in the district as a whole. As you can see, there's some large numbers of increases and decreases. It's important to note, though, the actual people count, because if you look at Indian Wells with 100% decrease, you know, in 2020, they had one homeless individual probably passing through. And then, of course, negative one this year. Of note, obviously, and the four largest cities of homelessness in the county of Ideal are obviously Riverside, then Palm Springs, Indio, and then Corona. We see the increases both in Cathedral City as well as Palm Springs. I'll note 18% sounds high, but if you look at the number of individuals, I'm going to say only 33. A lot of work being done to address that, primarily too, and I'll get into this in the next report that I do, Project Room Key, which really contributed a lot to our shelter total, as well as rental assistance in preventing people from actually falling into homelessness. I'd make a note too that, as most of you know, all of you should know, that right now the county, in conjunction with the leadership of Palm Springs, is working on the establishment of the Navigation Center that'll have an element of shelter beds, as well as, more importantly, interim housing units, as well as wraparound services. We hear not only from law enforcement, but during the point in time count, that there are a number of individuals in the city of Palm Springs and even Cathedral City that would take services that would either shelter or some transitional housing, but do not want to go to Indio. So we know that this campus will provide a great tool as far as reducing the number in Palm Springs. And if we go to the next slide, Erica, this year the county did something a little bit different with our point in time count. We wanted to show some of the activities that we're doing as a county, one, not only to prevent homelessness, but more importantly, how are we addressing this count moving forward? How are we making sure that we're increasing our programs and services to do further reductions and ideally get to a functional zero campaign? I won't go through all of these, but as you can see, the top number of unique individuals served throughout the county is over 12,000 individuals. It's broken down, of course, into some permanent housing and shelter areas. You can see the continuum of care and the allocations of money. We've been blessed over the last 2 years, primarily from increased funding from the state, but also the funding that came through CARES Act dollars and ARPA as well. And then you'll see, too, on the housing authority, as I say constantly, and we'll say again in just a little while, the importance of building housing for our throughput on homeless services. So you can see the investments that the county is making. Literally over 3 years ago, about 3 years ago, there were really only about 38 to 39 permits for affordable housing units in throughout the county. We're up to over 1,200 as of April on that. So a significant increase over the last 3 years. And obviously the housing and community development work that's primarily been funded through the pandemic resources of money. And with that, that's kind of the overall highlights, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Quick question, Greg. This is John. You mentioned geo-tracking. Can we get some geo-tracking information in our cities?
Yes. So that will be in the final report that I mentioned that will come out. Okay. You'll see some of the hotspots as well. So
thanks.
And what we're working on too now, John, is this within our HMIS system, sorry, acronym, Homelessness Management Information System, is actually doing some of the geo-tracking as far as our outreach teams go. And we're looking at doing this countywide. And so we'll be able to get some like real-time data on either, you know, monthly or quarterly basis to show cities as well.
Greg, can you provide us with that information you just showed us?
Yeah, the slide deck?
Yes.
Yeah, it should be, Eric, I believe it was in the packet, correct?
There is some in your packet, but we can provide the slides as well. There might be, I think there's a little bit of additional detail.
Yeah, we'll do that, Ernesto.
Thank you.
Other questions for Greg or other staff? This is an information item, so no action required of the committee. But I know that we've been waiting a long time for these point in time count results. And so I appreciate the thorough information in the packet and the slides. I see Mayor Furman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. Greg, I just have a question on one of the slides. Maybe I missed it. It says for Indio, it says unsheltered 102. And then it goes over to, it says sheltered, I believe around 300. Where is that number coming from? Is that sheltered from what we have in our care, from all of our services? Where does that number come from of sheltered people?
The sheltered would be the CDRM in Martha's. And we pull that information directly from HMIS. So. And then let me point out, though, in some of the cities, you'll see some sheltered that doesn't have a shelter. but those were clients that were in Project Room Key because we consider those as sheltered clients. So and if we would have done the count, you know, even 6 months before we did, those numbers would have been even higher because we had exited a lot of those individuals into permanent housing.
Great. Thank you.
Other questions? There's a lot in there, a lot of data. I appreciate the infographics, which are really easy to understand. I have a few questions if I can. So clearly there's an equity issue in terms of the Coachella Valley and District 4, especially being so impacted impacted by and seeing our numbers increase significantly, even compared to other regions. So could you just speak to that a little bit? I know we've watched as the counties, the COC has done a good job. I know Greg is the chair of the COC Continuum of Care, which distributes a lot of funding to do that in an equitable way, which gets shelters and other housing options throughout the county and not just consolidated in the Coachella Valley. But we have seen the county's efforts, for example, on encampment response be featured in Riverside. And we know that Riverside gets significantly more state funding, for example, on homelessness because it's a large city. But we see their numbers go down. Money works. And I'm just wondering, you know, how we can talk about the equity issue of the increase in the Coachella Valley and what we need to do going forward.
It's a great question, Christy, and a lot of, as you all know, is, you know, the county just started its 5-year strategic action plan, and a lot of the work within that action plan is specifically that, is addressing the equity issue. And when we talk about equity, it's not equal, it's equity. And to Christy's point, and these numbers bear out, is that this is where the advocacy of people like myself or Savvy, who sits on the Board of Governance, can advocate for the fact that we do have larger numbers overall as a district. And especially if you look at per capita, Palm Springs is number one in the county, even above Riverside. The funding sources actually, and Christy, if you look at a lot of the funding, especially that came down through the Emergency Solutions Grant Coronavirus Fund, a lot of that went to the 4th District, primarily CVRM and Martha's. We know that obviously, the American Recovery Plan dollars that the supervisor has allocated not only for the Palm Springs project, but also for additional housing resources, the Lift a Rise movement for permanent housing as well. But again, this is where we continue to advocate on a district-wide basis for our fair share of resources. To your point is that especially when a city like Riverside is among the top 13 and gets state direct allocations, we have to weigh that in my opinion, on what the distribution of resources from the continuum of care, not only the housing and urban development money, but also any future state dollars as well.
So. Thank you so much for that. And I know that you and there's a lot of other county staff on the line for different departments. And I know that there's an effort and intention really to focus staffing levels and focus of programs regionally throughout our district too. So I know you'll be instrumental in that in your new role. So that's really helpful, I think, as we look at, you know, homelessness, how it impacts regions. Because I know our police department has said we've seen a number of people, you know, coming from LA or Riverside, other regions that are sort of, you know, have massive homelessness, and then they're coming here because there's more space. So that's, you know, helpful as we think about how to attribute that.
And if I can address that too, Christine, I was going to address this in the last comment, but what we're also seeing in the county too is that even 3, 4, 5 years ago, there was really no political will or on the western side of the county, outside of the city of Riverside. You're seeing that change now. There's a great partnership between Corona and Norco. They're implementing a shelter system and crisis stabilization units. You're seeing some activity down in Southwest County through Murrieta and Temecula. So with that being said, is that ideally, as more services happen and build up in the western part of the county, that hopefully will release what's tended to be a draw to the eastern part.
Thank you. I saw an order, Mayor Furman, and then Councilmember Jonathan, and then Mayor Gutierrez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You kind of touched on one of my questions. I have a concern, and I wanted to know, does a point in time actually track where, you know, folks are originally from? You know, as we look at, and Madam Chair brought up Los Angeles, you know, they've done a lot of cleanups on their freeways as in respects to encampments and getting people, quote unquote, back to where they're from. However, I noticed a migration of encampments coming towards the Coachella Valley, and specifically in the Pass area. And that's actually very concerning, what we're seeing on the freeway coming toward our valley. My question is, with all the programs that we have already in place, and one is getting folks back to their respective areas, does a point in time actually identify where people are from? Just this last week, I had two women from Washington State that I was assisting, you know, and I have to thank CVRM for helping me with that, you know, with boots on the ground right away. So I just had that question. It was very concerning.
So this was the first year that we did that, Wayman, because we used to ask, where did you sleep the night before? But we did do an additional question of, you know, where are you from? So that data will be distributed once we do that final report. So because to your point is that we're trying to track that as well. Just as well as even in HMIS, even just doing regular service work, outreach and all that, we weren't tracking zip codes. So like Indio would show higher numbers because if CVRM or Martha's is inputting client data into HMIS, they're basically utilizing their Indio zip code. And so we've changed that now to where we're requiring service providers to actually put in, you know, original residence basically, or where they recently come from.
Great work.
Councilmember Jonathan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to take a moment just to elaborate on the point that you made, Christy, about equitable distribution of funds. And I know we have some new members. If you're not aware, HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, distributes funds towards homelessness. Those funds are then allocated by the continuum of care that that Greg chairs and that is overseen by the Continuum of Care Board of Governance. For the last few years, we've been pretty successful in having equitable funds distributed to the Coachella Valley. But, you know, there's stiff competition and there are some attempts made, not by ill will, but just to protect turf and, you know, thanks to Greg, you know, we're on it and we'll be battling that at tomorrow's meeting and making sure that the Coachella Valley always has a seat at that table. And that's not assured right now because people are elected, unelected, they move on. And so that becomes very, very important and that will be addressed tomorrow. The reason I'm bringing that up is I think we'll be successful. It's a good group that works together, always with the eyes on the ball, which is reducing and eventually, God willing, eliminating homelessness. So the group works pretty well together. But if we are unsuccessful tomorrow, we may reach out to all of you and your cities and the supervisor and so forth to try and ensure that the Coachella Valley and the 4th District are always represented and have a seat at the table. So I didn't mean to take that much time, but I wanted to let you know what's going on and to make sure everybody understands what the continuum of care is, because we do get millions from them. It's important. Thank you.
Thank you for your advocacy there, Councilmember Jonathan. We very much appreciate it. And please do let us know how we can help support that advocacy. We're happy to do that, I think, as a committee or as individuals or as councils. Mayor Gutierrez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is very similar to Mayor Furman. Now, during the point on time count, did you collect any additional information, like you mentioned, demographics and also gender and also the cause, what drove them to homelessness and also race and any additional information or was it just a point on time?
No, yes, we do, Mayor. And we've implemented that a few years back, but we even refined it this year. So we ask, obviously, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, other demographic information, age, race. And then we do ask, why did you become homeless? You know, is it loss of a job? We also ask if there's mental health issues, if there's substance use issues. So there is a lot of demographic data. And again, all of that data will be reported in the final comprehensive report as well.
Well, thank you. An additional comment. I just recently visited a local restaurant and while I was waiting for my food, I saw a homeless couple come in and happened to know the lady. So I talked to her and gave her a little bit of advice. She came up to me. I went to school with her and talked to her and gave her a little bit of advice of all the assistance that was there. And I mentioned you guys. And surprisingly, she knew everybody. She knew Tom Cox, and she knew about CVRM. And they're just not willing to accept the assistance. But I told her, I said, do you want me to make some phone calls? If you are ready to do it, let me know. But she knows that you guys are offering the services. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Any other comments on either that piece or overall for the point in time count? So, Greg, just remind us, when are we going to get the full report and what are the next steps for committee members here?
So ideally, it will be released by the end of this month. And then really next steps is, and I'll get into this in the next presentation, is really just supporting the efforts that not only CVAG does, but the other service providers. And as I'll mention is, you know, we see the numbers and we get a little dejected, but really, honestly, we are on the right path, especially in the Coachella Valley. There is a lot of work to do, but we're heading in the right direction. So.
Thank you, Greg.
And Chair, we will make sure we share that with the committee members as soon as it's out.
Thank you. And just to note, I did request at our council meeting that Greg or someone else from the county come and give a presentation on the point in time count numbers so we can analyze it at the city level too. So I'm sure he'd be willing to offer that, or at least someone at the county for all members.
I'll be there tomorrow night, Christy. And you're right. If any council wants me to come present, I'm more than happy to do it. So
thank you so much. Really appreciate it. So with nothing else on item 6A, we will move to 6B, the path forward and a recap of collaborative efforts implemented in the Coachella Valley. We have Greg again.
All right, thank you. As you know, we do, at least through the CV200 and CV Housing First program, you often get quarterly and annual updates. But as all of you should know, is that I'll be leaving the supervisor's office effective July 1st. Moving to the County Housing and Workforce Solutions Department as their Deputy Director for Government Affairs and Community Engagement. That doesn't mean I'm leaving you all. It's actually elevating the work that I've been doing over the last 5 years in the Coachella Valley to a countywide level. So I kind of wanted to do kind of my exit interview with you all today with a little bit of five-year recap. Believe it or not, Supervisor was appointed 5 years ago, May 17th. And they were immediately thrown into the whole issue of the closure of Roy. So it's been quite the roller coaster over the last 5 years, but I'm really glad I was able to get involved. Also wanted to show you what you as cities and the healthcare district and tribe and the county, what you got for your money as far as contracting with me over the last couple of years. But more importantly, I really want to show how far we've come in the collaborative efforts in addressing systems change and really breaking down silos and moving on that. And as I said, we've come a long way, but we have a long way to go. So looking forward to that. So as you can see, the picture of Roy's Desert Resource Center, and if you want to go to the next page, as most of you know, as I said, that closed in 2017. And primarily, for those who don't know, it really wasn't utilized in the way that it was envisioned originally. It was basically an overnight sleeping shelter, and that was it. And obviously, some funding commitments that didn't come through. And at that time, Jewish Family Services of San Diego, that was the provider, decided that they didn't want to renew their contract. So what that led to was a reanalyzation by this very committee, the CVAG Homeless Committee. At that time, I believe Savvy was the chair. And what was the approach that was going to go forward? And at that time, the Housing First was becoming quite popular and actually shown to be quite successful throughout the country. And so the committee decided to pursue that effort. We were already working regionally, obviously, but really realized that in order for us to make a difference, we needed to continue that regional approach. So the committee and CVAG contracted with Path of Life Ministries to run that Housing First program. We saw a definite increase in the financial commitments of city. It was very few cities that participated in the operation of Roy's. And to date, it's great to say that all nine cities contribute to the CV Housing First program, as well as generous contributions on an ongoing basis from the Desert Healthcare District. The tribe has also contributed in the past, and then the county is committed as well. And when we first entered office, there were talks of the county taking their proportion away, and ideally I've been able to secure that funding at least through 2025, and we'll make sure it goes even after that. And then on the refinement issue too, is what was great is that we didn't just implement the program, contract with Passive Life, and then leave it alone. Is we really looked at the data and metrics and analytics, and you know, had Passive Life, even at the time they held the contract, retool some of their operations. So increase some of the rapid resolution, decrease some of the prevention, increase more of the transitional units so that we were getting more effective services as well. Eric, if you want to go to the next slide. And then in 2018, thanks to the Desert Healthcare District, they commissioned a nationally renowned homeless individual, Barbara Poppy, to do a really deep dive landscape and gaps analysis on homelessness services in the Coachella Valley. And what Barbara found was a lot of fragmentation, real no action plans, no collaboration. While our service providers were doing amazing work, there just really wasn't any kind of coordinated effort. Even with the great work of the Homeless Committee, there still was a lot of fragmentation. And that wasn't just in the Coachella Valley, too, but as Christy and Sabi have mentioned, is that the COC plays a large role in funding and operations and contracting. And it was definitely siloed at the county, on more than 8 departments that were running some type of homeless services or programming. And so, again, really no collaboration. If you want to advance, Erica. And so with that report, I was commissioned by CVAG and contracted in coordination with the supervisor and did a little bit deeper dive into what it would take to actually increase that collaboration. So really looked more in depth at what our services were, what our gaps were, where the lack in collaboration was, where the silos were, and then how we were going to break those down. We had originally thought about establishing kind of our own sub COC, you know, some type of collaborative effort here. But after research and further analysis, it was decided, because of the changes in the county, I'll get those in the next slide, that it was really wiser just to support the efforts of the county COC, and really though focus, again, as I mentioned, especially in our strategic action planning, on the regional approaches and the equity in those regional approaches as well. And so if you want to go to the next slide, Erica, and I mentioned this because at the same time that I was basically doing this report and developing that report, is we had the creation in the county of the new Department of Housing and Workforce Solutions, which has drastically reduced the silos, has really increased the collaboration. The effectiveness of the continuum of care now is leaps ahead of where it was. Where we were getting 20 to 30 participants even 3 years ago, we're up to almost 90 to 100 participants within the continuum of care on an ongoing monthly basis as well. Again, we've implemented or just passed the 5-year strategic action plan. A large part of my role will be implementing that plan. We've really learned a lot of best practices. We don't focus our COC meetings so much on just disseminating information, but more about interactive best practice information and how we implement those for service providers in the county. Obviously, more funding has come down. And then again, as I said, increased participation. Erica, if you want to go to the next slide. With that too, over the last couple years, in 2019, we were not too happy with the results. This gets back to refinement again on the Passive Life contract. And so CVAG, through a lot of debate and questioning, decided to bring the program in-house, which I think is the best thing that was ever done. Again, further refinement of the program to make sure. And what we really wanted to do was focus on the chronic homelessness. As Barbara had mentioned in a report, that really is the key of really reducing homelessness, is getting after those chronic individuals. And more importantly, is those that are high utilizers, or what we call frequent flyers, of our emergency rooms and our law enforcement, because they're the most costly on society. And once we can get them housed and serviced, it's far more successful. If you want to go to the next slide, we'll just go over some of the recaps of some of the successes. Again, you get these on a quarterly or annual basis. We have data going back to January 2021. I would have liked to have been able to pull the Path of Life data, but one, it was difficult to get, but two, when we transferred over, we realized that the data input was not as sufficient, and that's gotten much better under Anise and her team as well. But you can see the number, and these are impressive numbers just since January 2021. And again, this is just the CV Housing First program, CV200, but 184 outreach intakes, 132 CSU placements, total exited to 99. So the percentage there is absolutely incredible. And then again, on their rapid resolution dollars, and for those of you who may need a refresher, this is like someone's got a broke down car, or they need a refrigerator to get into an apartment, or something, or a bus ticket home. But you can see to date, we spent over $67,000 on that rapid resolution. So you can see, and you all know this when you get the reports, is the high level of success of this program. Next slide, Erica. I wanted to talk about collaboration again, back to Barbara Poppy's comments on how we were broken down and in silos and not collaboration, especially through Anise and her team, that collaboration has really, really increased. Providers, especially not only in the Coachella Valley, we do regular updates through Palm Springs is leading a collaborative call every month. We do them on regular basis as far as our multidisciplinary response teams. We also do it on a county level as well. Again, I mentioned the increased collaboration and participation amongst our providers in the continuum of care. Healthcare, again, this gets back to addressing some of our high utilizers of our emergency rooms. We've established partnerships with not only Tenet and Eisenhower, but and have already been given lists from Eisenhower legally, abiding by HIPAA, to see who their frequent utilizers are, and then we can cross-reference those to our CV200 list and ideally get those people into care and actually into housing. And we're working on the final process with that tenant for to get the same information. But we work very closely with some of the social workers in the ED and hospital already at Desert Regional and JFK on those lists as well. And then public safety, leaps and bounds again. Three, 4 years ago, we had really close relationships with Cathedral City Police Department, Desert Hot Springs. We've really built a really strong relationship with the Palm Springs Police Department. I really give the city a lot of credit in their commitment to their law enforcement department on dollars, not on enforcement, but on real engagement. And the CV200 team has been fantastic in that engagement. Where we were really lacking was really with the Sheriff's Department. And so we've really been able to increase a lot of that development as well, and we'll continue to do that as well. On education as well, is we the CV200 program is working very closely with the street medicine program through CSUSB, as well as contracting actually with Diane Bynes through that to provide some psychiatric evaluation that helps us get people into placement quicker. And then additionally, we've been working lately with UCR to establish some psychiatric residency programming within the mobile access van for CV200. So again, just a reference to the need, not only the need for crisis stabilization, but more importantly, the collaboration as well. So Erica, a lot of my role outside of CV200 too has been addressing crises and emergencies. And as we know, over 3 years ago, we did the overnight cooling centers in Palm Springs, Desert Hot Springs, and Cathedral City. Great partnerships between the county, CVAG, Desert Healthcare District, and a collaboration with our faith-based communities as well. CVRM operated those the first year. In the last 2 years, due to funding and some logistical issues, we've only been able to operate that in Palm Springs, still highly successful. And a big shout out to the United Methodist Church and Martha's for their role in that. We've also done Project Room Key, which has been highly successful. As most of you know, this came out of COVID. Riverside County is one of the first to implement this program. And originally it was to get people into non-congregate settings off of the street for fear of the spread of COVID. What we found is most people in encampments wanted to be left alone and nobody coming in, and they really didn't get exposed. But you can see this is just in the Coachella Valley. Put about 400 to 600 people into hotel motel rooms. But more importantly, we didn't just put them there and leave them there. We did intense case management as well as housing exit plans. And as you can see, over 218 individuals within the Coachella Valley were permanently housed. So that's a fantastic number. Additionally, too, through CARES Act dollars, and you can advance, Erica, through CARES Act dollars, As well as ARPA dollars, we established the United Lyft Rental Assistance. Once again, Riverside County was one of the leading counties in the state to start the rental assistance. We actually allocated CARES dollars outside of the Project Room Key dollars that the state did before that program was even implemented. To date, we've served over 7,222 households at the tune of $56 million. Countywide, we've done about $200 million. The best thing about this program is that it has kept people from falling into homelessness and has really been a key tool. As a county, we're looking, and this is part of in our strategic plan too, is how can we do some type of hybrid or other model going forward in this preventative effort? Because we know if we can prevent people from falling into homelessness, it saves us so much money on not only issues around public safety in our hospitals, but more importantly, our budgets, not only city, county, and state levels as well. And then finally, as I mentioned too, we've been blessed with the amount of money that's come down and you know, the Homeless Emergency Action Planning money, the Homeless Housing Assistance Program, California Emergency Solutions Housing Grant, Emergency Solutions Grants, and then the American Recovery Plan has really brought millions of dollars. And it has enabled us not only as a county to allocate more funds, but also Palm Springs has been successful in obtaining $10 million, obviously through the ARPA allocations. And this has not only gone to just homelessness services, but we've also, the supervisor and the county have really started to invest more in the housing arena as well. And I'll get to that in just a second. And next slide, Erica. Just wanted to highlight some tools that are coming in. As Christy mentioned, the county really is working on how we expand services countywide, but really focusing too more on district and equity and regional approaches. So we are increasing our community behavioral assessment teams. Those are the teams that ride along with our law enforcement individuals. We just started a mobile crisis management team. This is a complement to the CBAT teams. And the first one started in Desert Hot Springs and will cover not only the West Valley, but we'll be expanding these teams. What they're able to do is that say CBAT out on and find someone in a crisis situation, primarily mental health substance use, they're able to call on this mobile crisis management team to come out, triage, and ideally get them into services, which frees up law enforcement and that team to move on to other services as needed. Our biggest challenge on these in the ability to expand is, luckily we've got the money to do it. It's finding the personnel because you have to have a clinical psychologist, as well as outreach workers as well. But we're working on some recruitment efforts as that. Recovery campuses are in the work. The county opened one in January in Riverside. It's a 24/7 operation. It has a sobering center. It's inpatient, outpatient care, full wraparound services. We are opening two more. One will be in Coachella, the other in Hemet. These are the perfect intake system, especially with the 24-hour sobering center, which is the first of its kind in the Inland Empire. So really looking forward to that as a tool as well. And then finally, the navigation center, as most of you know, this has been a dream of mine for 4 to 5 years. And I know Savvy's been a huge advocate of a navigation center, and it's really, really good to see this to come fruition. And again, I want to thank Christy and Jeff and the city for the partnership that we've really developed in putting this together, not only working together on the idea and concept, but more importantly on the funding aspect and how we're making sure we go forward. Fingers still crossed as we have a $19 million application into the state for Home Key 2 funding. We are very confident we are gonna get it. We just can't do any public announcements yet until the state formally announces it. But very confident that we'll be funded for that, which not only is gonna provide the necessary capital renovations for it, but more importantly, thanks to the governor and the Housing Community Development Department, we've been able to capitalize operational expenses so that we're able to make sure that we can keep the facility open and operating at full capacity for a few years. And again, as Martha's is the provider, they're fantastic at development and raising money, so we're confident it's going to be here to stay. So I just want to go over in the final part here on what we need going forward. And as I mentioned, when Christy asked what you all can continue to do is continue the regional support of the program, continue your allocations to the CV200 program. It's shown to be quite effective and a huge bang for your buck as far as the city. Continue to help us advocate not only for more county dollars, but more state funding and ideally more federal funding, especially for housing. public and provider capacity. If anything has shown us, especially over the last 2 years where we have seen this influx of money and where we've gotten better at collaborating and breaking down silos, that it takes people to run these programs. And Erica would attest to this as well, as far as the importance of qualified, trained, and compensated staff. This is a service and should be treated as one. And we need to make sure that we are supporting that capacity, making sure that when we're doing granting dollars from every level of government or private foundations, is that we're giving adequate administrative dollars. That doesn't mean we're blowing up a bureaucracy, but making sure that we at least have sufficient admin and capacity. Housing. I talk about this constantly. Just finished a book about an incredible study, primarily done in Seattle, but a lot of figures from other counties nationwide about homelessness is because we don't have housing. And I talk about this constantly, as we have gotten really good about outreach, about case management, transitional housing, even though we could do some more units. But we can't do the throughput if we don't have the permanent doors. As I mentioned, the county is working on those efforts. You can advance, Erica. Ideally, on a smaller scale, is looking at our landlord engagement, how we're getting more landlords to not only provide some temporary units, but more importantly, permanent supportive units, Section 8 vouchers. And of course, on the larger scale, the great model out here in the Coachella Valley that we will definitely probably see expand in the next 2 years as part of my role countywide is the Lift to Rise Housing Collaborative that has really identified a pipeline of projects at all levels of readiness to develop. But more importantly, there's about 6,000 units in that pipeline now at various stages of development. But more importantly is the development of the Catalyst Fund, which is a revolving loan fund that helps with pre-development dollars. And we're looking at other ways to help with gap financing as well. We have a large multi-million dollar ask into the state that we're confident about. The supervisor just contributed $2 million. I know that I'm in contact with a couple cities about possible allocations to that fund as well. The beauty of this is about the revolving loan fund is that the money goes out and comes back in. We've already funded six projects within the Valley through that fund, and CDHC has already paid back one of their loans. So it's a highly successful model. It's being looked at as a model by the state and really will help us to hopefully obtain that goal of 10,000 units within the 10-year action plan. What this also does too, though, for cities that have high RENA numbers, as we all do, it helps achieve those RENA numbers, as well as provide the housing for the throughput on the home services. So in closing, as I said, 5 years ago, I started this journey and I knew a little bit about homelessness. I've learned a lot and it's been definitely a roller coaster, especially with COVID. COVID, though, I actually was a blessing for homelessness and housing service because of the cash that came down. We just have to learn how to keep those revenue sources going. And we know that CVAG, through the REAP 1 allocation, is looking at a revenue study on how we continue to fund. And I know that the county is looking at some options as well. We've really built great relationships, not only myself with all of you and the cities, but with service providers. And again, the collaborative effort that has been built up. I want to emphasize again, I'm not going anywhere. I will continue to be involved because much of my role is in developing this specific type of regional approach that's been very successful through CVAG and how we develop that same model in other parts of the county and get cities in the county working together, as well as in conjunction with our state elected officials as well. I just want to close and say I wouldn't be embarking on this new journey without the support of all of you. You've all been amazing to me. You ask me questions sometimes I can't answer, but then I can somehow find them out. More importantly, you've been very supportive in the efforts to allocate and generate more resources. And I can't say enough how much you all mean to me. Technically going to miss you, but not miss you. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions or comments. But again, we've come a long way in 5 years. We got a long way to go, but we've really, really done an amazing job together.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you for your incredible work. Really appreciate that thorough history of where we've been and where we've going. And I just want to say, personally, you've done a really incredible job. I know you've personally spearheaded getting dollars to our community, personally answered calls to get people into housing. You've done so much. So really appreciate that work. I see Council Member Jonathan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me echo that. Greg, in my opinion, you have had more to do with the success that the Coachella Valley has experienced with regards to homelessness than anyone else. And what's interesting about that is the public will never know it, because all your work is at the, you know, you got boots on the ground, you do stuff behind the scenes, not in a nefarious way, in a good positive way. The public won't know it, but we do. And you should at least know that we so very much appreciate all your work on behalf of the Coachella Valley. And, you know, I'll be sad to not work as closely with you, but I'm happy for the county, which includes us, because I think that they just scored big time with you taking on that position. So good luck.
Thank you.
The one thing I want to add very briefly, because the agenda item is the path forward. So I want to beat the drum again of the subcommittee that our chair formed a while back, which continues to do, I'm going to call the CVAC Homelessness Committee 2.0, because which means post-Royce, when we started looking at innovative ways of addressing homelessness. And as you mentioned, Greg, we never stood still. We never said, okay, now we've got, housing first model, we're good. No, we always looked at our providers and what we're doing. We evaluated and we made changes. And that is not stopping. We're still looking at current innovations. As you probably are aware, our district attorney is implementing a homelessness court of sorts. There are other cities, and the state as well is looking at non-elective provision of housing and resources for homeless individuals. So our subcommittee is looking at all of that to see if any of it applies to the Coachella Valley and if it's anything that we need to, again, evolve our approach, our tactic to. So I just wanted to add, Greg, you gave such a thorough history, but in terms of the path forward, we continue to evolve. We continue to look for better ways of doing what we're doing and hopefully getting even better success. So again, Greg, thanks so much to you. Thank you.
Yeah, and if I can add on the homeless court, for those who don't know, that's for specific individuals that are tied to the justice system, so some element of crime. It's modeled after our veterans court, our drug court, our family preservation court, highly successful model. They were going to start that only in Riverside, but we were able to advocate to have them actually do a joint out of Indio as well. And then the governor actually, as many of you know, has a proposed care court, which is more on the civil side and kind of trying to get around or basically enhance Laura's law in conservator type shift and somewhat involuntary treatment issues for the severely mentally disabled and substance use individuals. It's the model sounds great. The devil's in the details on how it's going to be paid for. And so there's a lot of county advocacy because it's going to be shifted the responsibility to the counties and our behavioral health department. So we need to make sure the funding there. Many of you know that Riverside County is through realignment in 1991 and 2011 loses over $150 million based on the formula per year compared to other counties. So we're trying to address that as well.
Thank you. And thank you to Councilmember Jonathan for continuing to push the work forward. And I completely agree on a need to have the conversations about the 2.0, right? What are we going to do next? Because we've seen how incredible our work has been in terms of results and how much I think this is some of the best funding we spend on homelessness as cities and tribes and as a region. And so how do we, you know, we know that homelessness is increasing because of cost of living and housing crisis and all these impacts that are just, I think, going to see homelessness increase, especially as people move from other regions here. So I love that conversation of 2.0 and how to continue to move forward. Thank you. This is an information item. So we're giving feedback to Greg about the work and then asking questions about the staff report, both verbally and in the packet. Mayor Gutierrez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Greg, well, again, I wanted to say thank you for everything you've done for our Coachella Valley. I didn't know much about homelessness until I got into politics, but from what I've learned, you've done a wonderful job in the entire Coachella Valley, and good luck. Now, a question about a homeless personnel, mental care personnel that was going to be assigned to Cathedral City and Desert Hot Springs to be housed in Cathedral City Police Department. Any news on that? We've been waiting for over 2 years since it was approved. Any news on that?
It's a matter of finding the bodies, as I said. It's just there's a severe shortage of the professionals that we need. So the county's working on recruitment efforts. We actually, the board just recently passed increases in kind of salary schedules, not only for our medical center, but for other providers as well, to address the competition that we have. But Ernesto, I'll check on, because I know it has been quite a while. Let me double check with behavioral health on the status specifically for Cathedral City. So,
thank you. Now, another question. I know there's within our city, our businesses are having quite a bit of a challenge dealing with homelessness, loitering around the businesses. Is the Coachella Valley, CBAG, or anyone else doing anything to assist the businesses?
So a lot of that is done through the outreach work in conjunction with law enforcement through the CV200 program, as well as our behavioral outreach as well. As you know, due to the Boise v. Martin decision, we can't criminalize homelessness, and basically we have to just continue to do the outreach and try and house individuals as well. I know though that the CV200 team does regularly scheduled outreach events, and it's a hard answer to give you, Ernesto, because there's not a really good one that I can do about that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Other questions or comments from committee members? Greg, just following up on that, and this is my last question, but that triggered this conversation that we're having for our city too, just huge impacts of substance use, of mental health crises, of changing population of people who are experiencing homelessness in our city, huge encampment issues. So could you just explain a little bit about, I know you did this really with what the county is doing on substance use and those mobile clinics, but could you just share a little bit about what the cities might see and how we can help work together on those issues?
Yeah, and you and I have had this conversation many times. It's a challenge, and especially we're seeing a younger demographic with higher drug use. And really just blatant disregard for law. I mean, it's even in Palm Desert. I was driving by a bus stop on San Pablo and openly smoking crack. And it was just like, you know, really hard to see. I think this is where, and Savvy mentioned this a way, is how are we looking at systems that we can get around Boise v. Martin in the ability to especially enforce illegal activity? But as I mentioned too, Christy, too, really what we're trying to do, at least on a county level, and again, partnerships with cities, especially law enforcement, expanding the behavioral health and substance use services. I really do believe not only the Navigation Center, but more importantly, the Recovery Center that will be in Coachella was going to be a huge tool to that. Our issue, it's just like regular individuals with behavioral health needs. It's the same for homeless individuals. We're lacking the intake beds. Especially behavioral health. That will improve with the recovery village. Roy's has been a huge help, even though it's not directly homelessness, but it helps with that throughput in our mental health system. And then as well, the Acadia facility opening out in Indio. So we're adding those beds. Dr. Chang is in for a huge ask at the state for a new behavioral health hospital in Riverside as well. So it's really, how are we advancing those tools to do that? And I get just as frustrated as all of you is that it's because we're doing so much, and I know, you know, Erica's team under Anise too, it's the same way. We want to help so bad, and we know the impact on your cities and businesses. But again, you know, our hands are somewhat tied. And again, you know, we all know Prop 47 and 52, while good intention, you know, progressive as they come, is that you can arrest someone for smoking crack on San Pablo, but they're not even going to serve any time, and they're just going to be right back out. So it really is trying to get the underlying problem. I will say, I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but the county is implementing what's called an integrated service delivery model. So we're looking at actually how we address countywide services as a whole, so that we're trying to get at the root causes of a lot of these problems in the very beginning. And it's, you know, especially a really quick example, say you've got a couple with a child, and one of the spouses is arrested and sent, you know, incarcerated. That affects the mother and the child just as much as it affects the individual, whether that's loss of income, whether it's emotional trauma on the child. And so it's not just when we arrest that individual, but how then do we reach out to that family to make sure that they've got the support services? More importantly, when that person is released from incarceration, is making sure that they are set up to succeed and not fail as well. So I could really get in the weeds on that, and I won't. But again, it's looking at total systems change. So
if I could just piggyback on that a bit, particularly as it pertains to the CV200 program, I think you've all heard Tom talk about our laser-like focus on the CV200, which was developed in partnership with your cities, as well as, you know, relieving the impacts on, right, public social services, whether it's law enforcement or emergency rooms. And we've really, in the last 18 months of bringing this program in-house, developed new relationships. And it's not uncommon that we'll have a planned outreach, for example, in Palm Springs, and we'll hear from law enforcement, you know, we really have this new issue developing wherever, pick your, you know, area along Vista Chino. Can you reroute your outreach there instead and start addressing some of those and working in partnership with your law enforcement in particular and code enforcement to kind of target those areas that they're seeing as well, and to try to curb some of these trends. And if we can't help them, if they're not on the CV200, or if they're not the type of clients that are going to take a housing first type program, then we're connecting them to other service providers as well and building that relationship.
Thank you so much. Any other comments or discussion before we move to the next item? Thank you, Greg. There's so much work that you've done, and I completely agree with Councilmember Jonathan that you've been, as you know, personally and professionally, just so instrumental in getting these projects done. I think I've said publicly, I don't think the Navigation Center would be happening, you know, but for you advocating for those dollars and pushing it. So really appreciate your work. It's been incredible. And I know you'll be an incredible advocate at the county. I mean, when I started on this committee, we weren't even aware of the county's, you know, plans on homelessness, and there wasn't a lot of overlap or collaboration. And the collaboration that you've built regionally in those systems, which are siloed, you know, by design usually as institutions, is just that really will get results. And we're already seeing people, you know, be saved from homelessness and then get off the streets because of it. So thank you for your work, and we look forward to working with you in your new role.
Thank you, Christy.
I saw that you got quiet applause from members. So thank you, Greg. Well done. The next item and our last item is item 5C, acceptance of surplus vehicles for the CV Housing First program. If we can have a staff report, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Your staff report notes, and as Greg has just highlighted, the county has been a longtime partner of our CV Housing First program, and we meet regularly through our contract with Greg, in particular with the supervisor's office, and for Greg, been meeting about some of our needs within the in-house program. So earlier this year, we started identifying that we have a need for better vehicle use. As outlined in your staff report, we're using our personal vehicles, our team is, to visit crisis stabilization units, conduct outreach. And while CVAG does reimburse by the maximum rate, there are conditions where we could use a different vehicle. We've had to get a U-Haul, for example, when we're moving clients, and could use some support there. So the county has identified a number of vehicles that are in fair to good condition as part of a surplus that they are doing. And in May, this county supervisor, Perez, asked that the supervisors support, and they did, the donation of two surplus county vehicles for our program. We are identifying which of the good to fair vehicles might be ideal for our program, but it appears that we would have an opportunity to accept the donation of a truck, and which would be used mostly for client and outreach, moving clients into their permanent housing solutions, and a car, which would be mostly used for case management. So we are seeking authorization for the executive director to take the necessary steps to accept the donation.
Palm Desert says thank you, Manny, and moves for approval of staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
I second that.
Thank you. I heard Indian Wells second first. Is there any discussion? Those in favor, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Those voting no, please say no, or any abstentions to note for the record. The motion passes unanimously. Next, you'll see in your packet for the public, there are information items, including CVAG meeting calendar, funding resources for homelessness programs, a cooling center plans for the summer, funding agreements, and unaudited financial statements. Would any committee members like to discuss any of those informational items? Seeing none, we'll move to public comment on non-agenda items. This is the time and place for members of the public to address the Homeless Committee meeting, committee on items of general interest. Within the purview of the committee, we ask that you limit your comments to 2 minutes. If you're a member of the public, you can press *9 by phone or raise your hand on the Zoom feature, and we will call on you for your public comment. Jennifer, is there any public comment at this time?
We did not receive any public comments, and I do not see any hands raised, Chair.
Thank you. Last call for public comments. Seeing none, our announcements. So our next meetings are for this committee will be held on Wednesday, September 21st at 10 a.m. by Zoom. The next executive committee for CVAG will be held on Monday, June 27th, right before the General Assembly at 4:30. And then, of course, we have our General Assembly on Monday, June 27th at 6 p.m. by Zoom. Erica, are there any final announcements before we adjourn?
Oh, we look forward to seeing you all on the 27th.
Thank you so much. We will go ahead and adjourn at 11:06. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. Have a great day.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.